Welcome to the Five Pastors. You may have tried it all, but still aren't satisfied with the answers you found to the question, how then shall I live? Lighthouse FM Radio is pleased to provide this daily half-hour program to guide you into a closer walk with God. Join us now as Pastor Etienne Hirushimana shares today's message.
And I'd like to begin with a little story. After 2 years of marriage, a husband and a wife were enjoying their marriage and no stress in the world. Of course, the husband one day comes home after work, and he was quite exhausted, and he comes to the front door of the house, and he opens the door, and his wife is there waiting for him. She runs and gives him the biggest hug and a kiss. And she says to him, "Honey, I have the biggest news ever." He looked at her because she was quite excited. And he responded, "Okay, what is that?" She said, "Well, just in a little while, there will no longer just be two of us in the family. There will be one more addition." The husband grabbed the wife and began to jump for joy. And he looked at her with a smile. "Are you serious? Name it. Anything you want. Anything you want. I'll buy it for you because you made me the happiest man that has ever lived on this planet." She too began to jump with joy, moving towards him. And she looked at him and said, "Honey, I am so glad to hear that, because next week mother is moving in." Not what he was expecting to hear, was it? But in all seriousness, friends, children have a unique way of bringing joy and happiness in our lives. Children have an incredible capacity to love unconditionally. No matter how much you push them away, children have the ability to make us feel like a child one more time and feel alive. I don't know about you, but I don't know when we decide that we're going to stop playing. It's like one day you just get up, you're like, "I'm done playing. I'm just going to be boring." And then the children comes and you feel young again. They're able to spark life into you once again. They're able to bring a sense of curiosity. You ever seen a child so curious, looking around over all the wonders, all the wonderful questions they ask? Why is this the way it is? And you get to explain it to them. You see, children strengthens family bonds. You have something to pour into together. Children are a precious gift from God. But here's the problem. The older I get, people seem to be choosing not to have children. And here's the common reason I have come across when I talk to people. And I'm talking about Christians, by the way. I don't know the reasons for other people, but maybe you have heard this yourself. When I ask, why aren't you having kids? They say, "Why in the world would I bring a child in this messed up world? I can't imagine raising a child today. You must be crazy for bringing a child up in this world. This place is falling apart. There is no morals anymore." Do you see what they're teaching kids in the school system? There is so much confusion. Why would you want to bring kids in this world? Maybe you say to yourself. Or maybe you heard it. Am I the only one who heard that? See, people become more and more consumed and worried about the future. And by the way, I'm not saying that we should not think about the future of our children. What I'm saying today, friends, and what I want us to walk away with today is we need to realize that God is in control of this present and the future of our kids. You with me? God is still in control. He was in control in the past, and he is in control today. Let's pray. Father, I surrender myself to you at this time. Lord, I just want to take a little brief moment to gain your word. And so I ask for your spirit to fill me. Each word I speak may come from your heart directly to the hearts of your people. May we walk away with, thus saith the Lord. And most of all, Lord, may we walk away with understanding that you are in control. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, very quickly, go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. What book did I say, friends? Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm looking up verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. And for those who don't have your Bibles, thankfully I have the verse on the screen for you. But Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, and the Bible reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I did what? I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." Now, friends, I want you to notice here, if you look at the very first verses of this chapter, we learn that this young lad, Jeremiah, was born into a priestly home. He was born in the middle of the 17th century. He was called by God during the kingship of Josiah. Now, for those who don't know Josiah, Josiah became a king at the age of 6, I believe, or age 7. He was quite young when he became a king. And so during this time, for those who know the history, Jeremiah lived in a time where there was political power difficulties. There was wars arising all the time. He lived during a time when Jerusalem was under siege, during a time when God had an inner turmoil within his heart on how to deal with the people because they continued to disobey and astray from his word. You see, Jeremiah was living in a time when God's people were as stubborn, as you would say, as a mule. That's the time he was living in. They had become so hardened and had received the numbness of the heart, the sin. You see, when sin enters your heart, you become so numb. When you hear something that could help you, a warning, you're not willing to heed and listen to it because my way is the best way. Sin causes us to become deaf. And you can only imagine what sort of society Jeremiah was living in. A society where God no longer had room. God had been moved out of the school system. God had been removed from the people's homes. Can you imagine what kind of world this was? I imagine this was a world filled with violence and greed. The world and the future of that time looked quite bleak. And it was during this time, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me." It was in the darkest moments of the history of Israel that the word of God came to Jeremiah. And the question is, who is this Lord that called Jeremiah? Who is this God that called Jeremiah in such a time? Thank you for asking such a question. I want to answer it for you. I know you were asking that question in your mind. See, according to the Bible, God is servant. God is providential. God is in control. God has absolute all power and all authority in all creation from the past, future, and from this moment. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere at all times. God is eternal because he has no beginning. God is the ultimate reality because in nature he is truth and his truth is absolute. God is the uncaused cause because God is the one who causes things to happen. Nothing causes him to happen. You with me, friends? See, God was not created by human hands because he creates. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 115 verse 3, "Our God, is in the heavens. He does all that he what? Pleases. In other words, God does whatever pleases him, and whatever pleases he does. Nothing is too hard for God. His word never goes with void because he has power. When he speaks, everything comes into existence. Everything he does has an intelligent purpose, has a definite goal. But here's the wonder of all, friends. That same God says he knew me. He knew me before I was fashioned and molded in my mother's womb. That same God knew me before my father and mother thought about me. That same God knew me before my mother had her morning sickness. That same God knew me before Jesus came here on this earth. Before he brought this world into this existence, he knew me. You see, that means to me that God knew me before he brought me into my mother's life, and he allowed me to be born in 1991, the year where there was genocide in my country. And my mother had to escape war with a baby with me in her arms. But he knew me before that. And I was born at the right time. Why? Because everything God does has an intelligent purpose. He is in control. Now, follow me very carefully, friends. The Bible says, God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. You see, the Hebrew verb for to know is used to describe the most intimate relationship. If you go back in the Bible, you see that Adam knew Eve. See, this is a type of knowing that is so intimate. And the Bible is saying, God knows me intimately. God knows everything about me and about you. He knows your heart intimately. He knows your desires. He knows your future and the plans he has for you. Before the womb, he knew you and gave you a purpose in this world for this time. Then he adds, before you were born, I sanctified you. I consecrated you. I set you apart for a special task. I have ordained you as a prophet, as a messenger. Before you were born, I selected you for a special task, for a special message. I set you apart for you to be a mouthpiece for me. Then God promised him, and I will be with you always. I will put my word in your mouth. See, God doesn't make mistakes, friends. Have you ever wondered why you were not born 2,000 years ago? Have you ever wondered why you were not born during Abraham's time? See, only God knows. But I can tell you what God says. God says he knows the plans he has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The same way, the same thing, these words are true for our children and for our grandchildren, for our nieces and our uncles. He knows the plans he has for them. See, God allowed Jeremiah to come into this world in a time in history of Israel where it was so dark to be a voice for him and calling his people to repentance. God allowed Noah to be born in a time where every inclination of mankind was so evil to the point where God repented that he had created man. God allowed Moses to be born during a time where his people were enslaved in Egypt. And as he was born, he was being hunted as a baby to be killed just for God to save his life so he can be a man God can use to deliver his people from bondage. Esther was told, perhaps you were born for such a time as this to relieve and bring about deliverance for the Jews. When Jesus was born, the Bible says he came to which was his own, but his own did not what? Receive him. And as a baby, he was searched for and hunted to be killed. And then Jesus was always on the move. He lived in a world where the Jews have very little rights. He was hated by the religious leaders. The force of darkness, the devil himself, was constantly attacking him, but he did not sin. He was nailed on the cross for my sins. And there on the cross, our future looked once again bleak and dark. See, when he was on the cross, it seemed like there was no hope for the future. Then he died. He was placed in a tomb. But on the third day, the God who knew me, the God who knew me before he formed me in my mother's womb, resurrected. Because the Bible says it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. I told you our God is so powerful. Why? Because he holds all power and all authority. So my friends, instead of us stressing about the dark world that we live in and the future of our children, let us focus on the one who allowed them to be born in such a time as this. Let us focus on preparing them, preparing our children to serve our maker of everything in such a generation he allowed them to be born into. He chose them to be born in such a time as this. Our job is not to worry about the future, but to prepare them by our action. By living out our God-given purpose. Let them see us serving God with all our hearts. Let them witness you on your knees before the God of Almighty. So they too, when they get to that stage of their life, when they see the world around them is falling apart, they too can go on their knees. Because they know that God is able. We must demonstrate it for them, no matter how dark our world looks, no matter if our limbs are falling apart, let us remain faithful. And let us remember that God is still in control. He was in control of the past. He's in control of the now. And he will be in control of the future. And we know how the story ends. It ends with the crowds opening. Jesus in all his majesty and all his glory, with all the heavenly angels coming down. And the Bible says the trumpet sound. The trumpet of victory will sound. And the graves will be opened. And the dead in Christ will rise. Friends we once knew that have fallen asleep will put on new bodies. And they will give VIP flight. They will be lifted up. And we'll be looking at them like this, I imagine. And we'll be caught up in the air with them to be with Jesus for all eternity. Amen. God is still in control. But we just have to make the decision to let our children see who is the one we serve. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're not a God that makes mistakes. Lord, that you knew us, each one of us. You allow us to be born in a certain family with certain people. Some of them annoys us. And some of them, Lord, are a blessing. But for whatever reason, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to use us. You're able to be with us. And Lord, we ask as your church, as your people, that we'll be people who are devoted to you, a people who are faithful to you, That we may lead by example. May our children see that our God is able and our God is in control. That we don't need to fear of the rumors of wars. We don't need to fear of the noises of this world. But if we keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, we'll be okay. Like you said to Jeremiah, I will be with you. The same way you were with the Hebrew boys in the furnace fire. The same way you were with Daniel in the lion's den. The same way you were with Joseph in the pit. You promised to be with us. And so, Father, we want to dedicate ourselves first and foremost. And in turn, Father, we ask you to stay close to our children in this dark world. And allow them to be a light. Allow them to be a mouthpiece for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on The Five Pastors. Today's speaker was Pastor Etienne Harushamana. If you would like more information on what you heard in today's message, please email us, voar@voar.org. Join us Monday to Friday at 10 p.m. for an inspiring message on The Five Pastors.